Another powerful tool that we have to help us think big, and again, think big spiritually, is the power of caring about the little things in life. Again, it sounds like another paradox. We're going to see that in order to think big, you have to be able to care about the little things. In the Bible, there's a fascinating story about who took over to be leader after Moses. And we know that that individual was Joshua. Joshua was Moses' second-hand man, and he was chosen to lead the Israelites into the land of Israel after Moses left the physical realm. Now, why was Joshua chosen? If you look at the Zohar, the main text of Kabbalah, the Zohar explains that Joshua was chosen to be the leader because he cleaned up after Moses. He took care of the little details. Now, that sounds a little strange because when you think of a leader, you think of somebody that sees the big picture, you think of someone that's a big thinker. You don't think of someone that takes care of little tiny details. But that's precisely how you get to the level of being a big thinker. It's about caring about the small little details. Details, details, details. Caring about little small things is what helps a person raise their consciousness spiritually. And it's interesting because we're raised thinking we should have these big goals in life. You know, we should pursue the career, we should pursue having the house in this neighborhood. You know, the big things, have this kind of a car. From a spiritual point of view, the most important decisions that we make every day are those little small details about how we treat people and how we take care of the little things and how that reveals light. Very often that's more important than the big perceived plans that we have about our lives. And Joshua was a master of this. That's why he was chosen to be the leader. Because he cared about the little things, he had the ability to care about the big things. And that's emulating the Creator. The Creator cares about all of the little things that we do every day. Sometimes we think the Creator, this being that created the entire known universe, is a busy individual. This force or entity doesn't have time to think about me and my little problem and my little thing that I'm going through, when the exact opposite is true. The Creator, the light of the Creator, is totally involved in every little thing that every person does, man, woman, or child. We think that the needs of the child are less important than the needs of the adult. From the Creator's point of view, that's totally not true. The Creator only knows to share and only knows to give. If a child has a desire, the Creator has an equal tendency to fill the desire of the child as the desire of the adult. The child might want a lollipop, the adult might want a jaguar, but from the Creator's point of view, it's just a desire that needs to be met and filled. When we care about the details, we're emulating the Creator. Just like the Creator cares about the small things, when we care about the small things, we leave, again, the realm of Malchut, the 10th dimension, and we enter the world of miracles. Thinking about the small things is thinking big. It's not about having big plans and then having no ability to manifest them, because you never learn the tools that'll take you to that level. It's the same thing in business, by the way. We think that a one penny has less energy than $1 billion. Now, if you talk to anybody and you ask them what's the difference between a penny and $1 billion, they'll tell you a whole bunch of zeros and a whole bunch of happiness and fulfillment. Well, we know that's not true. Having a lot of money in the bank doesn't necessarily make you happy. Is the light of the Creator in the penny? Absolutely. Is the light of the Creator in $1 billion? Yes. And this separates a spiritual businessman that thinks big from the businessman that's like the black ball, that just thinks about himself or herself. Because the light of the Creator is in the penny, in the same way that it's in $1 billion, you have to care about the penny the way you care about $1 billion. I know a lot of people that'll walk by on the sidewalk and they won't even bother to pick up a penny from the sidewalk. It's not worth their effort. It's amazing when you think about that, because it's totally our perception. There's the light of the Creator lying there waiting to be revealed. And when you start caring about the penny the way you care about $1 billion, that's how you get to $1 billion. That's the secret. And every spiritual businessman knows that. That's why they are obsessed about the details of their business. The light force of the Creator is in everything. It's in every person. It's in every animal. It's in every inanimate object. Everything contains the light of the Creator. Otherwise, it couldn't be sustained or exist in the physical world. We have to be careful, though. We're learning now that thinking big means caring about the details. Now, we should think about the details, but not get caught up in them, not get obsessed in them. Meaning, you focus on the detail, but don't stay there. Always zoom back out and look at the whole picture. So thinking big means caring about the details, but let's say you're not a detail-oriented person. Some of the most spiritual people that I know are not detail-oriented. So does that mean if you can't handle the details, you can't be spiritual? Caring about details means precisely that, caring about the detail. It doesn't mean that you have to perform the detail yourself. It just means you have to have the care and the diligence to see it through, that someone takes care of it, that someone that is good with the detail will handle it. Not just giving somebody something to do and then forgetting about it. It means following up because you care that that little thing belongs to the whole part. When we're talking about not getting caught up in the details, we're saying don't get caught up in the logical thinking process, that up and down uncertain thinking process of how we're going to make it work, meaning jump in with total certainty. If your seed was caring about another person, and if your seed was to reveal the light of the Creator, have total certainty that it's going to work out. That's such an important ingredient. Have total certainty that it's about the light and not about your ego or your own personal agenda, and that's the secret for the miracle manifesting. We have to surrender our logic. We have to surrender our normal, robotic, 1% malchut way of looking at things, you know, that 10th dimension way of looking at things. It's just about jumping into it. Just jump into it. If you have a spiritual seed, meaning if your consciousness is spiritual, then you have a chance for the tree to be healthy. If the seed is healthy, you have a chance for the tree to be healthy. And having a healthy seed in our lives is having a healthy thought, a spiritual thought, a thought that cares about other people, that wants light to come into their lives as much as we want light to come into our lives. So surrender the logic of, I just want all this energy for myself. If you do things with ego, meaning with your own personal agendas, what I get out of it alone, then you can't surrender. And if you don't give away the logic, that means you're not giving away the 10th dimension. And if you're stuck in the 10th dimension, you cannot see the miracle, even if the miracle is attempting to come into your life. We don't call this, by the way, a leap of faith, this idea of surrendering logic. It's more of a sense of knowing. Surrendering is knowing how the universe works. It's not about just taking a leap of blind faith. That's why we don't use the word believing very much here at the Kabbalah Center. When you believe, the word believe implies doubt. Because I doubt something, I have to believe it. When you know something works, you use the word I know. I don't say I believe. If I buy something for $5, and if I'm successful in selling it for $10, I know I'll make a $5 profit. I don't believe it. I know it. When we say the word believe, it's because we're not sure. We want to leave the consciousness of uncertainty and go to the consciousness of certainty of this is how the spiritual system works. And when you work with that headset, the miracle must appear because most of reality is the spiritual dimension. And if you work with the system, it has to work for you. The proof is in the pudding. It's not about believing me or believing any teacher. If we put these principles to work in our lives, we must see results. I once heard a beautiful example to understand what surrendering means. Imagine being out in the ocean and getting caught by the undertow, and this undertow pulls you farther out into the ocean. For many people, the normal robotic reaction would be to fight against the undertow. You get tired, and your ability to be able to stay afloat actually gets weakened, even though your rational mind is telling you, fight the undertow, fight the undertow. As opposed to surrendering, and then waiting for the big wave just to send you back into shore, which is the natural cycle of how the ocean works. On the one hand, we are surrendering to the undertow and letting the big wave take us, but on the other hand, we're overcoming something tremendous within ourselves, the desire to fight and to control not being pulled by the undertow right now. When we let go of this desire to control right now, to inject the ego right now, I must have it my way right now, then the miracle can start happening. This is what we mean when we say that a person should surrender to the light. Surrender only the attributes of a person's personality that are opposite to principles of the light, being self-focused, the desire to control, because the light can fix things in our lives much better than we can. And it's only the light of the Creator that can truly fix something at the seed level in our lives. We don't want to let go of our control. We want to fix it. Especially if a person's a Leo or a Scorpio, they want to control. They don't want to give up the control. And we all have that component to our personality. What happens if a person starts to surrender and things still don't work out? Okay, you followed some of the basic principles we're talking about over here. Things happen in life. It doesn't go your way. You give up. You surrender. You let yourself get pulled by the undertow, a spiritual undertow. Please, I just want to make that clear for everyone. If the undertow is spiritual, meaning there's a force that's pulling you to be more caring and sensitive towards other people, not a force that's pushing you to be more self-centered and insensitive, towards the individuals around you in your life. That's the game that Satan plays with you. You know, go with the flow, be like everybody else. This is how uncertainty works with us. We are talking about a spiritual undertow, not going with the flow. Fighting the force of being self-centered and just keeping energy for ourselves. So you surrender a little bit, and things don't work out. You know what we learn over here? Surrender more. Surrender more. You didn't see the miracle yet? Things didn't happen? You didn't give up enough yet. You didn't give up enough ego yet. You didn't let go of the I, the me, the my agenda. You didn't let go of that enough. You're surrendering, you're not surrendering enough. How many people have this ability to say, when things aren't working out, great, I'm on the right track, let's go further. I mean, everything around you seems to be like chaos. This is the paradox. Everything seems to be like chaos around you, and you're saying, everything is wonderful, let's just keep on going. We're going in the right direction. That's how the force of chaos is going to work against you. The more you try to go in a spiritual direction, the more friction you're going to experience sometimes. If something doesn't work out for you right away, it doesn't mean that it's a sign that it's not the right thing to do. It might be an indication that you just need to let go more. The miracle will be bigger if you let go more. Again, the more you push away the light and the more difficult it is for you to push away the light, the bigger the miracle is and the more light we get to keep. If you see the miracle coming into your life, it's because you were successful in going to the next level. You were successful in leaving the physical dimension of self-doubt, self-limitation, and self-focused energy. But we should always think it was the light that came in. The only thing I did was I stepped into an environment of the light. That's all I did. Also, we should be careful not to push ourselves too hard spiritually in the beginning. Meaning, if you're at level 10, you're totally disconnected from the light, and you don't see how any light can enter your life, don't try and be a righteous individual overnight. First, work on getting to step number 9, meaning pick something or choose something that you feel is attainable, that you feel you can get to, and then work on that. When you get to that level, then work on the next level. It's very important. We try to do things in one big rush. We're disappointed, and then we just give it all up. It's like the person that tries to lose 50 pounds in 1 week. You're not successful, and you say the whole plan isn't working for you. That's not how the system works. You got to give it time, you have to give it discipline, and you have to put energy and effort into it. It's the same thing with spiritual work. A person that works out with weights, if they don't get bulging muscles in 2 weeks, that means they stop working out? It's ridiculous. You know, we laugh when we give those type of examples. But all the more so for the spiritual dimension. If the spiritual dimension is 99% of reality, don't you think it deserves a little bit of effort? So one of the important things is we should be honest with ourselves and not be afraid to go to a level where we know we can achieve some degree of success, because that will motivate us to go to the next level. There's a nice little story about what happens to us. Once there were two fishermen working next to each other. Every time one of them caught a big, huge fish, he would throw it back into the water. And every time he caught a small fish, he would keep it. The other fisherman in the boat looked at him and thought he was crazy. He said, "What's going on with you? If you keep the big fish, you'll have more food for your family, and you won't have to keep on catching small fish." And how did the first fisherman reply? He said, "Listen, I only have small frying pans in my house. I can't handle the big fish, only the small ones." That sounds like a cute little story, but this is exactly how we live our lives. The Creator always is ready to introduce the miracle into our lives, the big fish, so to speak. But what do we say back to the Creator? "I only have small pans. How do you expect me to fry this big fish?" What we're really saying is, I don't want to go to my next level. I don't want to assume the responsibility of going to the next level. It's comfortable for me to stay with my little frying pan and fry my little fish. But again, that's not what we came here for. So what prevents us from going to that next level? We spoke about the need to think big, and we understand that we need to leave this 10th dimension of limitation. What's the force that keeps us from going to the next level? We explained that it's Satan, it's the force of chaos, it's the self-limiting force, and we know that this force rules the dimension of time, space, and motion. What does this mean in a simple way? Time plays an important role in acting as an obstacle to us achieving the environment of miracles. I'll give you an example. If we were afraid to cross a bridge yesterday, but we are successful in doing it after overcoming our fear, why is it that the next day, when we come to the same bridge, we still might be afraid? We've all had similar experiences in life. You're afraid to do something. You get up over the fear. You go through it. But the next time the challenge presents itself to you, you find yourself afraid again. It might be to a lesser degree, but the fear is still there. Why is that? This is the power that chaos has. It creates a barrier between yesterday and today. If you were able to wholly connect to the energy of yesterday, when you went through the bridge with no fear, when you overcame it, there would be no problem. But today is another time period. There's the illusion of having a different state of consciousness, and this force called time comes in the middle and says, that was yesterday. Now maybe you won't go through the bridge. Maybe today the bridge will snap. Maybe today the bridge will fall. This is how the force of Satan uses physical elements to prevent our consciousness from achieving a state of miracles. It creates a barrier between past, present, and future. When we know in the spiritual dimension, once an energy has been created, it's always there for us to access. So yesterday, today, and tomorrow is all the same thing. Once energy has been released in the cosmos, it's always available. The illusion is, it was yesterday. Maybe today something else will happen. That's what we need to overcome. One of the beautiful things about learning Kabbalah is not only do we explain the concept to you about how the nature of reality works, but we also give you tools to be able to leave this normal, self-doubt, limited way of thinking that we just explained. Again, Satan slash chaos makes us think there's separation or barrier between yesterday and today. We don't have enough certainty that there is a dimension known as the endless world, or that there's a dimension where miracles are the norm and chaos is the rarity. So we receive spiritual tools to help raise our consciousness. These tools take the form of meditation. One of the most powerful meditations that we have is something known as the Ana B'Koach. The first line consists of six letters, and the Kabbalists have taught that these six letters are our most powerful bridge to the dimension which is very close to the light of the Creator, where no barrier exists, where there are no blankets, so to speak, covering the eyes, where there's no self-limiting thoughts, because everything is open, everything is available, the energy of miracles is available for everybody immediately. These six letters are Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Yud, Tav, Tzadik. When we meditate on these six letters, as taught in the meditation classes here at the center, they act as a bridge to take us to this dimension without pain, chaos, or suffering, and they dematerialize the limitations of the physical realm, time, space, and motion, so they can no longer function as obstacles or blockages in us attaining the state of consciousness where miracles are always available. It couldn't be that the Creator allowed us to enter this world and didn't give us any tools to fight the challenger, to fight chaos, to fight that force. The tools take the form of the Hebrew letters, which is a universal energy sequence. It's not for any one particular nation or any one particular people. It was designed for all of mankind to support our consciousness. That's why when we use meditation, it's not about prayer in the conventional sense. It's not about thanking the Creator. It's not about commemorating historical events. It's spiritual technology. It's just like pushing a button. And when you push that button, even if you don't understand how the technology works, you access the energy. I don't understand 100% how my cellular phone works, but that doesn't prevent me from using it. At the minimum, I need to know how to punch in a few buttons in order to make my connection. In the same way with the Hebrew letters, you don't have to understand all of the technology about how they work, but just by scanning the sequence of letters and thinking that you want to dematerialize the obstacles of time, space, and motion, you will have a very powerful tool to help you leave this 10th dimension of Malchut and enter the environment where miracles are the norm.
For more information on the spiritual wisdom of Kabbalah or to order other audio tapes, call us toll-free at 1-800-KABBALAH or visit our website at www.kabbalah.com. This has been a Kabbalah Media Group production.